I bring you greetings from GEMS family, and as I want to take you to a video and to the message, I just want to begin with a story. And today we have been hearing about dry bones and then whether dry bones can get life. And many of you raised your hands and then you all prayed. I just wanted to begin with a story and then we will go for a video. Some of you may be knowing that, you know, in GEMS there are around 73 children homes and around 4,000 kids we take care. And in that one school and children home, a small boy, we just adopted him from a dysfunctional family. The father and mother, you know, they are separated. They were not living together at that time. The mother was taking care of two young children. So the younger one and the older one we took into the children home. This young boy, he came, he accepted Christ. And the moment a person accepts Christ in a real way, he looks into every problem through God's perspective and through the scriptures. And what he did is that, you know, small boy of 7 years old, he started praying for his father and mother. The father is a drunkard. And he walks away from the home, and then sometimes he comes back after 6 months, 1 year, and the last time he went, it was 2 years. And then, you know, this small boy, I have seen him praying with, you know, kneeling down in a straight position, holding both of his hands together and praying that, Lord, save my father, save my mother, save my family. And you know what happened? Suddenly one day, the mother came to the church and she said that, you know, she wants to follow the Lord. And then that was the first breakthrough that he got it. So the mother and the older son and the younger son who was with the mother, they all started believing in the Lord and then they were growing. But still this boy was in the home. And then he started praying for his father. And just the father returned after 2 years of break. He just came back home. But he was drunk fully. And he came and then he met with the missionary and then they both spoke. And then he was trying to introduce Jesus to him. And that man, even in the drunken position that, you know, he was convicted. And, you know, he felt that, you know, what he's doing is something is really wrong. You know, the Spirit of God can speak to people in any state. And then, you know, he was still in the drinking habit. He used to fall here and there and then people used to pull and then bring him home. You know, one day he just came to our missionary there and then he told them, you know, brother, somehow, you know, you saved me from this drunkenness. I really believe in Christ, but I cannot kick out this. So please help me. So, you know, what he did, he just, you know, took him and then he just brought him to one of our discipleship training center, Bible school, and where Elim, you know, Regents is affiliated now. And Regents College is affiliated for Diploma in Applied Theology. So they brought him for a discipleship course. So all others were looking down on him and saying that, you know, we are, you know, the alcohol smell is stinking. That how can you bring a person to a Bible college and make him to sing with all holy people? And they said that, no, it's okay. He wants a change in his life. You know what happened? Lord touched him. And within 1 week, he could come out of his alcoholic addiction. And he continued that 6 months, you know, discipleship course. And then he came to me and said that, you know, brother, I know what it means to be saved. And now I love my wife and children. And now the whole parents, they joined together. And then he came back and told me once, now I got something and then I want to give it to the same gift which I got, I want to give it to other people. And he continued for one more year in the Bible college. And now he is one of our full-time missionary. Hallelujah. This man, he went into a new village. After his Bible college, he asked me, where can I go? I told him that, you know, are you ready to take a tough place? He said, that, okay, I'm ready to take. Around 25 villages, there is not even a single church, not even a single believer. Are you willing to go? He said that, yes, I know. The grace of God is all sufficient. He went and then, you know, we kept him in a new place. You know, God brings women and men of, you know, peace in that place. One lady, she was having some Christian influence and, you know, she started, you know, supporting them in that place and they were there. 21 years, young girl could not walk. She had a heart ailment, and then she was like a vegetable. The parents used to just, take her and then put her in the front of the house, and then they can take her back. That's all. And these two, people, they went and prayed for that girl, and then she could stand up and then come out on her own next day morning. The whole village started looking at it. What is happening here? And now in that church, there are around 28 people, and we have started a church in that village, and then many people in the surrounding villages are hearing the gospel. A dry bone will get life. Hallelujah. Glory be to God for this wonderful testimony. This is one thing which I just want to encourage you before I just go in for a video and the testimony and the message. If you are having real problem, don't give up. A small 7-year-old man, boy's prayer could change a family and change a community. And now it is being a blessing for so many villages around 30 kilometers radius. So a dry bone will get life. So be encouraged and God bless you. And we will listen to us, hear a small video, and then, we will go for a message now. Gospel Echoing Missionary Society, GEMS, is a household name in the Indian mission scenario. GEMS is ministering in the most Gospel Echoing Missionary Society, GEMS, is a household name in the Indian mission scenario. GEMS is ministering in the most difficult states of India like Bihar, Jharkhand, Uttar Pradesh, Madhya Pradesh, and Maharashtra, of which Bihar was known as the graveyard of missionaries. GEMS also serves strategically in Asian countries like Nepal, Bhutan, Sri Lanka, and Myanmar.
Stiff resistance to the gospel, poverty, lawlessness, and exploitation could not stop the expansion of God's kingdom. With more than 2,449 staff on roll, God is sustaining GEMS since 1972 faithfully. Our founder, Reverend D. Augustine Jebakumar, is leading the team along with an executive director, 5 associate directors, 5 regional directors, 16 zonal superintendents, and 160 area leaders and department heads. GEMS serves the people of 7 major language groups, which are Hindi, Bhojpuri, Magai, Uravan, Maithili, Marathi, and Nepali.
More than 1,006 churches function under GEMS, and on an average, 16 church buildings are being built every year. The Lord has brought more than 60,000 believers into His fold through GEMS ministries so far. More than 100,000 people are exposed to the gospel through hundreds of major and mini gospel programs, Jesus film shows, gospel literature distributions, and various other innovative evangelistic programs.
2 Bible colleges, 7 discipleship training centers, apart from 20 different kinds of special training programs, cater to the formal and short-term trainings. The biggest training center has a seating capacity of 6,000 and can lodge around 1,500 people.
More than 25,000 children are educated through 120 English and Hindi medium schools, social action centers, nursing school, computer center, tailoring centers, industrial training institutes, and a polytechnic. 60,000 children are exposed to the gospel through GEMS Children Ministries.
73 children homes are catering to 2,390 children in-house, which includes orphans, physically challenged children, child laborers, destitute, poor, and sex workers' children rehabilitation.
Commercial sex work is rampant in many villages of Bihar. Young children are forced into flesh trade, and GEMS is helping hundreds of such children to come out of this evil. Many are given safe houses. People groups like the Musheha eat rats to quench their hunger.
Many tribes like the Gond and Karwar struggled even without basic facilities. Identifying and addressing responsive communities based on their felt needs, GEMS has penetrated into various key villages. Transformation projects which directly addresses these issues are very effective in rebuilding broken lives in Christ. The 150-bedded GEMS multi-specialty hospital is functioning with the motto, Healthy Patients to Heaven, and caters to their physical and spiritual needs.
Last year alone, around 72,000 patients were treated. Every patient who visits GEMS Hospital is systematically followed up by the field missionaries into our church.
GEMS Revival and Media Ministries touches millions nationally and globally.
GEMS could see God's faithfulness even in our finances. GEMS will not directly or indirectly ask for funds unless someone specifically asks by the prompting of the Spirit. GEMS will not take loan to fulfill any of its ministerial needs. GEMS will not use designated funds for any other purpose. Yes, God faithfully sustained GEMS for the past 4 decades.
GEMS is not an organization. It is a movement birthed by God's own vision to reach the unreached in northern states of India and beyond. Still, 521 million people are yet to hear the gospel where GEMS serves. Opportunities are plenty. Doors are open. Let us join hands to reach His chosen people for His glory. Come along. Let us not stop until we find the one lost sheep. Pray for us, visit us, and participate in the ministry. God bless you.
Isn't it wonderful what God can do? And the story doesn't stop here. I just want you to, you know, go back into the history. If you just see the work of GEMS, it all started with, you know, few of the ALM missionaries who came to India. And some of you, if you are, you know, older than 50 or 60, you might have heard the name Olive Jarvis and then Joy Bath. These are the, you know, two sisters, that they were medical nurses. They came and then they started the work in India 70 years back. And then, you know, when they, you know, they were there, you know, before that, you know, there were Reverend D.C. Lewis and then, you know, Sylvia Beardwell and John Prentice, and all these people are men and women from ALIM churches who came to India and then started the work. And now after 35 years that, you know, we are connected back with, you know, ALIM, and we are so happy, and also I am so privileged that, you know, you gave me an opportunity to come and talk to you in this time. And when they had this meeting here, when they started the work, it was basically in the northern belt. If you see the slide, you will see that, you know, there is a last column. It says that, you know, less than 1%. And even though the southern India has a lot of Christian presence, the major challenge is you go to the north where there are no Christians, where there are no believers. And I want to leave a challenge with you also as we, you know, go on to listen to the message. When there is a challenge, you attempt that challenge straight. I always believe that, you know, you need to take the devil by his horns, not the tail. So when there is a challenge, when there is opposition, you go on with that. And, you know, as, you know, Pastor was talking about, you know, an opposition. Normally in the Western, you know, context, when there is an opposition, when somebody doesn't like, then immediately we can withdraw. But I always believe the gospel is always offensive. When you go and share the gospel, there can be problem, there can be difficulty, you know, when it comes, then we go there. You see here, there are two very key places. One, it is written Varanasi. Varanasi is the Jerusalem of Hinduism. And there is another place which is written here, it's called Gaya. That is the birthplace of Buddhism. So now there are Buddhist nations like Myanmar, you know, Thailand, and Sri Lanka, And all these countries, the Buddhism, they are Buddhist nations, but Buddhism was started in Bihar, where we live. And GEMS office is right in between these two places where those two early missionaries came. So what do we see? Even when you see a challenge in Scotland, when you see a challenge in Edinburgh, don't give up. And we need to really see that, you know, when there is no possibility, we need to attempt there. And there, the Lord, you know, started, you know, bringing more people to the, you know, to Christ. And that, you know, makes all things happen in that place. You see here, there are, you know, manifestation of human, you know, evil spirits. And, you know, that picture, if you see that, that is one of the common scenes which we have in our, you know, evangelistic meetings. And sometimes you may see that, you know, oh, brother, in Edinburgh, we don't see all these things. It's very rare, or very sometimes, you know, we see that. But here, you may, you know, encounter a much, much bigger, you know, demonic influence, which is called self-sufficiency. When people are well self-sufficient, they say, oh, I don't need God. I don't need Christ. You may come across, you know, a difficulty of materialism. You may come across the difficulty of individualism. It's me and my life, and, you know, it's my personal. So nobody wants to just open up. So these are as strong as what we face there, you also may face there. But when that is delivered, and then suddenly you will find that, you know, people come to know Christ. Not only in, you know, one and two, but in tens and fifties and hundreds, you know, people come to know the Lord every year. And last year alone, we could baptize around 5,000 people. To be precise, it is around 5,400. And God is working. When there is a challenge, when we go there, God amazingly, you know, he moves there. These are some of the film teams, you know, which we have that, urban ministries, and the list goes on. And it is for the, you know, work among the Muslims. And, you know, we always fear, oh, you can't handle. We have allotted 6 workers just to concentrate only on the Muslim friends. And then they go and talk to them, and on an average, around 10 people, they come to know the Lord, you know, through this. I think all the clicks is working now. Okay. Can you just use it manually, please? Okay. Okay. And yeah, one more down. The medical ministries, you know, I understand that, you know, there are good medical doctors here, isn't it? Some people are there in the medical field. It's a challenge. You know, those two sisters, when they started just as nurse, you know, they didn't give up on anything. No medical support system, no emergency care, nothing. They had a small, you know, 10 by 10 room, and then they were treating people there. And that put the seed. Now the GEMS Hospital, last year we treated 72,000 patients. And you know what we do? I don't know, in your country it may be illegal, or it may be legally have a lot of, you know, problems. When people come for treatment, when they come and sit, we just talk to them, we give them New Testament, and we talk to them about Jesus. There will be an evangelist who go and then, you know, sing a song and then talk to them about hope when they are waiting for the doctor. And then once they go and meet the doctor, and then when they go home, our field missionary will, you know, go to their home and then talk to them and saying that, you know, bring them to the church. And many people, they come to know the Lord through the love which we show in the hospital and the care which we give them when we go home. See, this seed was given by the, you know, early missionaries, and that has been very, you know, fruitful. And if you see that, you know, about the children homes, we have already seen that. And then, you know, these two early missionaries, they started a small school. And then now when we see, there are 120 schools, 25,000 children are studying in our school. And we don't preach God, but we preach Jesus. Because in India, God can be anything. And it can be a very general word. And we want to preach Jesus in our school. Every morning, they are taught half an hour from the Bible. And we just conduct it as a Sunday school. And then only we start the school. And a lot of resistance when we had the school in Nepal. You know that, you know, Nepal is the only declared Hindu nation in the whole world. And then they said that, no, you can't do this. And they said that we will do it. Because if, as a Christian from the church, if we are running the school, the greatest law what we have is here. More than this, there is no law which can surpass the scriptures. So we said that, you know, we will stay on with that. We were very polite, we were very humble, but we were very strong. And Brother Jabakmo told that if we cannot preach Jesus in our school, let us close it and run a cowshed. So he said that, no, we will not. So around 400 kids were studying, and there was a lot of opposition, and then they took away all of them. They were left with 3 children. He said that it's okay, we will run with those 3 children. And we ran the school, and then it took just hardly 6 or 7 months, and around 260 turned back. And glory be to God, you know, because when we stand for our commitment and principles, there will be persecution, there will be pressure from people, there will be a lot of, you know, shame on us, but it is all glory for us when we stand for Him. And you know, it's an amazing story that, you know, when we look at it, thousands of children are, you know, exposed to the gospel. And then, you know, they started a discipleship training, and as we saw that there are 7 discipleship training. And the beautiful thing happened just 2 years back. I met and spoke with Keith Warrington and Paul. And they said that, you know, come on, we can do something in training. And one of our Bible colleges affiliated to Regents, and now already around 70 children, students have already trained in Diploma in Applied Theology. Your country is a great blessing for us. And when there is a vision, definitely we can just move forward. And now you may ask a question that, you know, what we can do? How can we partner? And then some of you may be thinking that, you know, okay, I am a medical doctor, what can I do? If you can just tell us that, you know, we will arrange and pile up patients based on your specialty. Okay, maybe 50 people or 100 people. And then you can come for a week and then treat them and then come back. We will do the follow-up in our hospital. Some of you may be teachers. Come for 1 year, 6 months, 2 months. You can just come and volunteer in that. You know, even next day, you know, month, you know, one person, you know, near Malvern, he's coming. And he's coming for the second time. And you can come as a volunteer for short-time missions. You are always welcome. Come and see in those days how those missionaries worked and bring back that, you know, the passion into this church. And I'm seeing a lot of empty chairs here. And I'm a little disturbed. And next time when I come, I really want this to grow. 150 should become 200. And 200 should become 250. When if you are partnering with missions, the mission starts from this church locally. And it's my sincere prayer that it will be win-win. We all come together so that, you know, our church, you know, grows. And also, if you want to support and then partner in the ministry, you can be, you know, partners. And Paul Hudson specifically told, even though GEMS financial policy says that, you know, we cannot appeal. And he says that already GEMS is a partner with ALIM. And you need to go and talk to our church members and then encourage them that how they can partner. So it starts from even, you know, as small as, you know, £10 a month to support a child. And it can go, you know, even to, you know, £7,000 to build a church. So on an average, we build around 16 to 18 churches, you know, in a year. So it can be anything which the Lord puts into your heart that all goes through ALIM missions. So, you know, God bless you that, you know, this will be a great, you know, challenge and an opportunity for you to be part of God's kingdom. I want, you know, to speak with you very specifically from God's word. And the more you are attentive, smiling, and then connecting with me, the more I can give it to you. So if you are very tight and if you are just looking like something is happening inside the zoo and then you are outside the zoo, you know, I cannot preach to you. And, you know, I can preach to people that, you know, who can just receive and with the word that which can be of great, you know, support for each one of us. Please turn with me to your Bibles, Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. And I want you to respond. I don't know how do you respond. You respond by saying amen or hallelujah. I do not know. Amen. And when I say a hallelujah, you can respond with saying that, you know, amen. Is that okay? Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. This is the foundational word which I wanted to bring it to know our understanding. Brothers and sisters, I was praying and then I came with an expectation that I will leave something to the church today. When we go out of this church today, that we will be thoroughly encouraged. And we will be able to know the purpose of God in our life, that it can be a great blessing for us and also for other people. The seventh verse, it says, "The Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, and for I know their sorrows." Brothers, we have a God who can see everything, who can understand everything. It's only not only for us as believers, but as people who have fallen away from God. If you really look at the Israel people, they were not good people at that time in God's sight. They were punished for their wickedness. They were under bondage. They were given to slavery. So the people who fell from the grace were there, but when they cried, the Lord sees their tears. So we have a God who can see the tears of God's people and other people. So this is perfectly all right. Then you go to the next word. It says that, you know, if you read that eighth verse, "So I have come down." So what does it mean? The Lord sees the cry and then the Lord comes down. When the Lord comes down, it's so wonderful because we have a great God who comes down. These two things, you know, I have no problem. You know, as a Pentecostal, I'm so excited about these two verses. But I'm very disturbed with the 10th verse. Because the 10th verse puts us in a very different perspective of our own commitment to God. "Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh." See, here I have a problem, my brothers and sisters. If God can see the tears, if God can understand people, and then the God can come down, then why he didn't go to Pharaoh? He should have gone to Pharaoh, and then he could have shown himself to Pharaoh and saying that, "Hey, Pharaoh, look, I'm God, leave my people." Then it's very easy for Moses to do the follow-up. Okay. But, you know, for some of us, even in Edinburgh, sometimes we see that, you know, "Lord, why, what am I doing here?" If God could have come down to Edinburgh and then told, you know, that he is God, he is Jesus to anybody of your, maybe some of our relatives are not at, you know, in the Lord. Some of our children are not in the Lord. "Lord, you show yourself, Lord, then I will do the follow-up." That's what some of us are asking God. But here God is saying that, you know, "No, you are the answer, that you will go and talk on behalf of me." Can somebody say an hallelujah? Now can you turn to your neighbor and say, "If I say that, I will not go further unless you do that." Can you turn to your neighbor and say that you are the solution for Edinburgh? Don't stop there. One more thing you need to tell. You are the solution for your church growth. Some of us, we say that, you know, "Okay, I come to this church as a faithful believer for the past 40 years, that is all." No. God wants you and me to be the mouthpiece. Brothers and sisters, when I heard, when I understood the meaning of this word, then I was never the same again. You know, even now, I carried a Bible and now I am, you know, with me. In my pocket, I have a New Testament. Not for me, for somebody else. Yesterday, I just traveled to, you know, Edinburgh from Motherwell. I took one and I kept that. You know, "Lord, whom do you want me to talk about you today?" I just came and then, you know, few of the friends from India, they were there. And then they just invited me and they said that they had a small prayer and then they wanted me to share. I just went and shared. Suddenly, I found that, you know, their neighbor, new neighbor, 1 month, he has moved to that house. He's from Nepal. He's a Nepali, that we both could speak in Hindi. I just spoke to him for 15, 20 minutes and then introduced myself and I gave my business card and then I gave him my New Testament. Then I told the landlord who invited me, the brother, he said that, you know, "Come on, man, I'm going, but I'm giving you a job and I'm leaving." I said that, "What, brother?" I said that, you know, "I already gave a New Testament to him. See to that he comes to know the Lord." Why? That is what the Bible says. God heard the cry of the Israel people. God himself came down, but he didn't operate on himself. He didn't operate on his own will. He didn't go and show himself to Pharaoh. He wanted Moses to trust him. He wanted Moses to believe him totally and then be the mouthpiece. And you know the struggle Moses had, you know, in talking to Pharaoh. He forgot about Pharaoh. Talking to the Israel people, he had big headaches. Okay, some of us may have difficulty in talking to other believers himself to convince them that, you know, come on, we can do something in, you know, in this place. We can do something in other countries. We can do something in Africa. We can do something in India. We can do something in Haiti. Brothers and sisters, may God give us that urgency in our heart. Lord, I am the solution. I am the solution for everything what you want to do in our place. Some of us, you may be a little disturbed that, you know, your children are not in the Lord. Some of us may be thinking that, you know, oh, my own colleagues, or maybe the people, my neighbors are not in the Lord. If you are concerned, don't stop with that concern. Let us move out and then take an opportunity to talk to them. You know, we need to go proactive. Pharaoh did not invite Moses. Okay, can you turn to your neighbor and say that? Nobody will invite you. But you need to push through. Some of us, we find it very difficult because we are culturally bound. There is no culture more than the biblical culture. Somebody say an amen. I'm not talking about being arrogant. I'm not talking being insensitive. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm talking to you in your own culture, in your own, you know, dignity, in your own understanding. You need to be proactive and you need to go closer and closer to every neighbor, every person you meet, and then bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus. That is a responsibility of the church. I always say a very strong statement. Every person who comes in physical proximity with you is already predestined by God for you to do something in their life. It's a very strong statement. With that passion, if you can go, you know, if you just carry my, you know, laptop bag, it's heavy like a rock because it's full of New Testaments. You carry, you know, I left one bag in Motherwell. It's full of New Testaments. Why? I love your country. I love your people. Because every time I travel to one country, I know that, you know, those people who travel with me are predestined by God for me. I need to do something for them. If we can understand why, from where we get this value, we get the value from the Bible. Bible puts us into a great responsibility. When I know that, you know, that God who created the heaven and the earth is waiting upon me that I may speak on behalf of him. If we can know that, you know, we will be so joyful. We will go extra mile. We will go for an extra coffee with somebody. You know, I I'm a computer scientist. I did my PhD in computers and in artificial intelligence. You know, and some of my colleagues, you know, when they call me for a tea or a coffee, I'll be right there. Sometimes, you know, I land up in drinking, you know, 20 to 30 coffee or tea. But not in your country. Your country, you drink in mugs. Okay, we drink very little. Okay, so if I drink, you know, mugs of 30 cups, you know, I'll be gone. So it's just small cups, you know, they can say, you know, the culture is there, you know, every 1 hour they'll go for a tea or a coffee, very small cup. So anybody wants to have a coffee, hey, come on, I'm there. That is the time somebody will just come and say that, oh, I had an altercation with my wife, you know, I fought with her. Oh, my son is like this. They'll just open up. That is a time that, you know, we bring Christ. So here the foundation which I want to begin with you today is that, you know, God depends on every human being to be his mouthpiece. When we go from this church, the responsibility of the ministry is not with the pastor and the leadership team. The responsibility of the ministry is with every member of the church. When we know that, then we will know that, you know, then the church will help us at the back. And may God, you know, help us to understand this foundational principle. So when we go further, there are three possibilities difficulties that, you know, which we can have. Can you just go one slide down? It goes all the way. I don't know why it goes back. Can you just help me to just go to the second slide of the slide, you know, of the message? Okay, just turn with me to Exodus chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. I will read it for you. Four or three reactions a man or a woman can have for this great commission. What is the great commission? Be the mouthpiece of God. Do what he says. Then only people will be delivered. So there are possibility that three, you know, reactions that we can give. You know, may God give us, and I pray that, you know, that God will, you know, kindle our heart, that as we go out of this church, that we will be totally challenged. And Moses is reacting to this like this. Then Moses answered and said that, but suppose they will not believe me, listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. See, here it is, the word is repeating, suppose. So that is a problem with his mind. Then the Lord is saying that, hey, Moses, what do you have in your hand? And he's saying that, you know, Lord, a small stick, a rod, a shepherd's staff. What is the problem with Moses? He is having a mental barrier of fear. Suppose they will tell, but whether they did like that, no, it never happened. When he went and told the Israel people, they believed. They believed in him, but they were very upset with the consequences of the problem. They had to work more, and they were very upset with the consequences of the problem. They believed. But Moses always thought that, you know, they will not believe him. He always looked into his weakness. He had a problem with his, you know, oration. He was a stammerer. So he was saying that, no, Lord, I can't talk. So he was always giving some kind of an excuse that he will not do it. You know, sometimes even in the church, you know, when my pastor asks us and when somebody asks us, can you do this? Then we'll say that immediately, no, I can't do this. I'll give it to somebody else, pastor. Can you, you know, help in the choir? No, there are some specialized, you know, people who can sing. No, I can't do this. Can you lead a Bible study? No, I can't do it. Some of us will say that I'm too old. Okay, some of us will say that, no, see, we can always give some kind of an excuse to be involved in the ministry in a much, much higher way. Brothers and sisters, God wants everybody. With our weakness, God wants us. In Moses' life, you know, if we just go, you know, it is a long study we can have that. You know, ultimately, God had to be very angry with him. You know, we have a loving God that, you know, he had to be very angry. If you read, you know, 14th verse, you know, then the anger of the Lord kindled against him. But there is a beautiful change which happened. If you read 20th verse, then you will know that. What is the change which has happened there? You know, in the 20th verse, it says that, you know, Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of, can somebody repeat? Rod of God. In the second word, what verse, what did he saying? Rod. But in the 20th verse, the rod has become the rod of God. Brothers, if you can give your weakness into the Lord's hand, then he can make wonders with your weakness. He had a small rod that which was, you know, nothing, that, you know, which is just useful just to, you know, bend a leaf. And then, you know, it can just feed a few sheep. That same rod Moses used to deliver 3 million people. How it is possible? It is all in our trust in God and then giving our weakness to God. Your weakness in God's hand is a great strength. Can somebody say an amen? All your weakness, whatever weakness you have, bring it to the Lord. And then that becomes, I'll give you an example that will definitely encourage you. You know, when I was near Bombay, I was working in the IT field. One young man, Christian, very good believer, he was studying for his master's in a university, which is predominantly, Hindu fanatic, you know, dominated university. The university's name is called Shivaji University. Shivaji is a warrior king who fought against the Mughals. You know, it's a very strong, tough place. He purposefully took a room inside the college, in the hostel. I asked him why. He said that, you know, brother, I can start a Bible study. Then he said that, you know, then I told that, hey, it's not, you know, allowed in the college, isn't it? Hostel, isn't it? Then he was saying that, you know, I have a law book which allows that. And then I said that, okay, if you have a law book and then you can have a Bible study, okay, go ahead. Then, you know, he used to call people on every Wednesday. And then he used to call me sometimes. One day he came to my house and said that, you know, brother, can I take your guitar? I said that, okay. Then I told him, hey, it's not tuned. You need to tune it. I said, no problem, brother. And then he took it. He's not very good in English also. Broken English he'll speak. And then he took the guitar and then went there. On the Wednesday, he called me. Brother Rajesh, you come and then, you know, you talk to them. And you take a Bible study for them. And then he told, don't bring Bible. You know why? Because if you go bring the Bible, then it is very evident that, you know, you are trying to, you know, have a Christian program there in a lot of complications. I said that, okay, I will come prepared. Then I can talk to those kids, talk to those young people. So when I went there, there were 32 people in a small cramped room, in the beds and in the rack and in the table, you know, college students were sitting. And then I saw that, you know, he had photocopied, Xeroxed, you know, a lot of, you know, Christian songs without any, you know, Christian tint into it, general songs. He gave it to them, all of them in photocopy. And then he took the guitar. Then I saw that, you know, hey, it's not tuned. And then he didn't even hold the card, and all the six strings were singing in six keys. And then he was singing in the seventh key. And all the 32 people were reading the songs. I was sweating because I knew the song. Come on, this guy is killing that song. And then, you know, all were there, you know, they were just, they did not have a clue what is happening. Then he turned to me and then he said, now Dr. Duthie will talk to us some good things. Now what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to take a Bible study and lead these kids to Christ. And by God's grace, you know, I did it. And many people gave their life to Christ. And when he came home, I called him. Come on, Anand, what are you doing? Don't make this nonsense anymore. Then he looked at me and he said that, you know, brother, what is your problem? Noise is coming. People are coming to know the Lord. And what is your problem now? See, he led more people to Christ than many musicians whom I know. He had a weakness and he gave it to the Lord's hand. And God used his weakness to bring people to know the saving knowledge of Christ. Brothers and sisters, you know, if you are struggling, if you are saying that, you know, we all are in the same boat. We all are weak people. We all are difficult, you know, we all find it difficult to answer questions. God doesn't ask you to answer every questions of other people. But God has asked you to just preach the gospel. We are not interested in convincing other people. That is God's problem, the Spirit of God's problem. What we need to do, we need to love people. We need to present the gospel in such a way that they can understand and love them. You know, my mother is a terror. Oh my God. You know, we are four boys, no girls in our homes. You know, she used to be behind us and say that, you know, my son, you need to accept Christ. I said that, Mama, I am an adult. I know what to do. She said that, no, you do not know what to do unless you accept Christ. She was behind us. My brother, he was 52. She didn't spare him. She will go and that, you know, love binds everything. My brother cannot react to her because he knows that she loves him. So then at the age of 52, he had to give his life to Christ and now he's a born again believer, took baptism just the last year. See, what we need to do, bring your weakness to God in love, and that can make wonders in many people's life. Brothers and sisters, may God, you know, give you the grace. That can be one, you know, reaction like Moses, that, you know, he was pondering on his weakness. Number two is that, you know, if you just turn with me to the 18th verse, Exodus chapter 4, verse 18. Okay, here it is talking about the attitude of Jethro. Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see whether they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. Jethro, if you just read carefully, Moses is going and asking permission to Jethro. I don't know about your, you know, culture. In Indian culture, in Asian culture, or in Eastern culture, parents are having a greater say in the children's life. See, I am, still my father is 80. Still, I respect my father. Major decisions, I will ask him, sir, what do you think about it? And I will get his consent. And I respect him because he is God's covering for me as an elderly person. Okay, here, if you really see that, you know, Moses considered Jethro as father. It's not as a father-in-law. That's why he's going and asking him, sir, can I go? And Moses had the power to say no. And Moses, you know, but Jethro said that, you know, go in peace. Now I want you to really understand from Jethro's perspective. Please listen very carefully. It's very interesting. How many sons Jethro had? I'm asking to check whether you are sleeping. How many sons? None. How many girls? 7 girls. You know, in Maharashtra, you know, in the near Bombay, you know, I have one of my friend. I know that our Asian culture that, you know, they always want a boy or a girl. Both, they want a combination in their home. He had 5 girls and the 6th one was a boy. Then we just go and encourage him, at least now give the break, you know, give a break to your wife. Because at least at last you got one. So I think probably Moses would have tried for 7 times. And then, you know, 7 girls. Now, what is the role of Moses? Jethro, you know, Moses is the first son, not the son-in-law. Please understand. Because that much, you know, he came, strong man. He is helping the family. And also a son-in-law living with the father-in-law and helping the father's cow, father-in-law's cows and sheep. Such a wonderful thing, isn't it? Now, where Moses wants to go? Moses wants to go to, you know, Egypt. Then what will happen to Jethro the next day morning? Who will take care of the cattle? Who will take the sheep for grazing? Who will take care of the buffaloes? Who will take care of the cows? If you can really imagine properly, it was a great loss that Jethro released Moses. What happened? The result. 3 million people came to know from, you know, bondage into their marvelous light. They came out. What is the reason? Jethro released Moses. If Jethro would not have stopped, you know, would have stopped Moses, you know, if I would have been in, you know, Jethro's place, I would have called him and said that, Moses, Moses, let us pray, fast and pray. Let there be revival in, you know, in Egypt. Let us not go there. Let us not bother to take the pain of going there. Let us pray, fast and pray. Or sometimes we would have said that, let us give some money, that is all. No. He released Moses and his wife, his first son-in-law, who was taking care of all the household things. But what is the attitude? Let me take some extra load. Brothers and sisters, when is the last time that you sacrificed something for the kingdom of God? Jethro sacrificed his whole ability to take care of the entire household and release a man. Release his daughter. Release his grandchildren. And they could go. Now I want to ask you a question. If kingdom of God has to expand, it is not on what we will get from the church, what we get from the ministry, but it is what we are going to give for God's expansion of God's kingdom. Your time, your ability, your giftings, when we are able to give sacrificially, that will change the destiny of many people. Jethro released his comfort so that 3 million people could be delivered from the bondage. So today morning, I just want to challenge you. I want to give you one example that will definitely, you know, make you to have a different perspective about things. I want to tell you that, you know, sacrifice your time, sacrifice your money, sacrifice your ability, sacrifice your giftings. God will definitely use it. You know, recently, you know, we had one program in southern part of India, one convention. Our director was talking, Brother Jabakumar was talking. And in the evening, when he was meeting people, one very old, 82-year-old mama came and wanted to meet him. But by the time was up, and people were not willing to, you know, really let her in. And then she told that she was in a very shabby clothes, almost like a beggar, a peasant. And then, you know, people told that, why, what do you want? She said that, no, I just want to meet him and then give this small bag in his hand, a small cloth bag. They said that, you know, mama, you go to the ground and there you'll find a bookstall. You just leave it there. But this old lady, she just walked out, and then she's a very strong lady in mind. You know, she went and stood in the middle of the road. Okay, when the car was coming out of the house, suddenly they found that, you know, one old lady standing in the middle of the road. So then the car stopped, and then, you know, Brother Jabakumar, you know, he just lowered the windshield. Then asked, what is this, mummy? Then she's 82-year-old, torn blouse, dirty sari, and all hair is not made. And then she came, all the, you know, skin is almost fallen. Very old, you know, mama. She came and then touched his cheek and then kissed, and then she told, my son, I know the ministry what you're doing. I'm praying for you. Do it nicely. And then she just gave that small bag to him. She just gave it to the volunteers there and the car went. After 2 months, they came to know about this lady. You know, she was a local beggar. She begs and then she leaves. She has an older sister who broke her hip and then she was bedridden. She lives in a mud house with a thatched roof. When they heard this, they were so broken. You know how much money was there? 1 rupee coin, single 1 rupee coin, 2,800. Whatever one, you know, coin she gets, she kept it for God's mission. She could have bought a blouse. She could have made the thatched house better. But what is her thing? My life is gone. I'm going. But let my investment be a be a blessing for God's kingdom. Jethro's attitude is not what he will get from God's work. When you walk into the church, are you coming with an attitude that I can get something? Or are you coming with an attitude that, Lord, let me be a blessing for your kingdom? Can somebody say an amen? See, this lady changed our attitude. See, she gave everything what she had so that it can be a blessing for God's kingdom. Jethro gave the best so that 3 million people can be delivered. May God help us to understand how many of us can open our home to receive somebody. How many of us can go spend time with somebody. How many of us can go and help somebody who is in need. That will make such a lot of, you know, shame and a difference in others' life. I'm asking you only one question. When is the last time that you sacrificed something? You know, may God speak to us. Last, only one, I will just encourage you and then I'll close in prayer. Turn with me to the book of same Exodus, chapter 7, verse 11. Chapter 7, verse 10 and 11. Moses, you know, Aaron, and I'm just reading 10th verse, you know, second part. Aaron cast down the rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called his wise men. That I can understand. But he called the sorcerers, the magicians, and they also did so. Brothers, I have a problem here. We all tell that our God is powerful. But here it is proven that the enemy also is powerful. The devil also can make, you know, a stick into snake. I have a serious problem because in the Eastern religion, if you really see, in East, you know, people will say that our religion reads to one place. You got benefit from Christ? Good. I got benefit from my God. And if you apply the same logic here in Edinburgh, it seems to be right. You know, some of us, you know, some of our friends do not come to church, but they also built a house. Some of our friends do not have any connection with God, but they have a good career, and they have good money, and they don't need anything. So if you really see that whether only people who come to know Christ, you know, sometimes you also tend to see that, you know, they are very happy than us. They go for party and they do anything what they want to do. And sometimes you see that, you know, as a Christian, you become a, you know, real, you know, holy, holy person and become so miserable. See, it's a struggle. When I see that, if I would have been standing with Moses and I will see that, you know, Moses is making a stick into a snake and this sorcerer is making a stick into a snake. So all powers are equal. Brothers, we need to really understand the truth so that we will know that what we believe is the foundation of our Christian life. So now when you read that, you know, one more verse, you know, the same chapter, if you read 22nd verse, the Egyptians, they turned the water into blood. The magicians, not only God's people. Wow, they are performing a miracle. So tangible. People can see. And then if you really see that, you know, 8th chapter, 7th verse, the magicians did so with their enchantment and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. Three times, spiritual darkness comes equal to God's power. I don't know how many of you experienced. If you have really shared the gospel with somebody who is resisting it, you will experience this. Oh, come on, I'm not able to get through to this man. I'm not able to really convince this person. I'm in front of him, I look like a fool. I don't know how many of you really go through this, you know, agony in your life. If you are there, God is encouraging you, my brother and sister, today. See, the powers of darkness will always operate in our life. If you are from Africa, you know that, you know, there are a lot of sorcerers, a lot of magicians. If you come to India, there are a lot of people, you know, people come and then do some, you know, rituals and then do something and you get benefit from your life. But when you are encountering, in the same way in your country also, I already mentioned, there you will find people who do not know Christ, who do not want to know Christ because they get everything what they want. At that time, your anointing should increase more than this third level. Moses did not stop there. People were opposing him. He failed. And again he failed. He was not able to convince them that God is above their magic. But the three times he failed totally. But he didn't stop there. Some of us are in the first, second, third level. May God give us to go to the fourth level. Read with me with excitement the 18th verse. 8th chapter, 18th verse. Now the magicians so worked with their enchantment to bring forth lies. But they could not. Can you repeat after me? They could not. Can you repeat after me? They could not. Brothers and sisters, you come to this level of anointing. Today, I want to pray with you, you know, just in a moment. I want you to really ask God, Lord, help me to come to this level of anointing. If you really see after fourth level, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all the 10 times, the Egyptians could not stand against the power of God. So to that level, if you can come, your life will be different. Then you will make a headway in your workplace. Then you will make a headway with your neighbors. Then you will make a headway with your ministry and missions, what you are carrying through. See, in and day out, we wrestle with these things. You know, I was sharing with Pastor when we were coming. You know, just 20 days back, we had a reconversion ceremony. You all know about conversion ceremony, but what is this reconversion ceremony? You know, when more people accept Christ, the anti-Christian element will come and then they will convert them back into Hinduism. They will just make a small, you know, pond of fire and then put that red thing on their head and then sprinkle some water and then they'll say that, you know, from today onwards, they are reconverted to Hinduism. They did 100 people. So what? Hold on. Be there. Hang on there. But never give up. We are not supposed to come to a place and saying that, you know, brother, my time is over. I want to give you an example that, you know, one of our other friend who is in Swiss, very rich man. He has a robot to make coffee for him. Okay, and he used to tell Brother Jabakumar and said, hey, Jabakumar, you go to India and then talk to all these poor people about Jesus. I don't need your God. What will you talk to him? He has three cars on three doors. Whichever door he gets down, he can take that car and go. And that much rich man. So then, you know, Brother Jabakumar was, you know, struggling. Lord, how can I communicate to you, this man? He was struggling. He's not convinced. You know, one day, after 2 years, one year later, he went and just spoke to him and said that, you know, uncle, he's 82. At least for the sake of your children, accept Jesus. That's all. This man started weeping like a baby. He's saying that, come on, what happened, uncle? What is your problem? Why are you crying? He said that, Jabakumar, you need to listen, you know, study this letter. And he gave a letter to him. In that letter, his daughter wrote a letter. You know, that letter begins like this. Daddy, why you did not give me Christ when I was young? I already married two men and divorced them. And now I am living with a third man. And I am coming to know now that even this third man with whom I am living is not sincere to me. And then she finished the letter like this. Daddy, why you did not give Christ to me? So this man, just the previous week he got that letter. Just the next week, Brother Jabakumar is telling, uncle, at least for the sake of your children, you accept Christ. Then he could connect both. Because he did not accept Christ, he could leave a generation which lives in sin. That day, night, he accepted Christ. He took baptism. In 1 year, he went to be with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. There is hope all the time. There is no powers of darkness which can surpass God's power in your life. Don't think about all the mistakes what we have done. All the missed opportunities, don't worry about it. God is still in control of our life. I began with only one statement. We are the solution for our church. We are the solution for your home. We are the solution for our community. And let us do that. And three reactions. Don't work on your limitations and weaknesses. Give it to the Lord. Let it be the rod of God, that God can do wonders. We saw second thing. It's not what we get from church, what we get from God. It is what we give it to him because of his sacrificial death on the cross. Number three, don't give up on the spiritual, you know, the backlash what comes to you. The areas which we are not able to make headway. Let us hold on to the promise of God. Our God is still alive, and then he can transform the lives of people. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Shall we look to the Lord? If you are just there, you know, bow down your heads and then just ask God for this special anointing for this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Open your mouth and just speak to him in a mild voice. Just, Lord, I need this, Lord. Lord, I want to be like Moses, to be your mouthpiece. Just tell him. Just tell him. God will just show you some of the faces of people that with whom you need to be interacting. Just ask God, Lord, help me not to meditate on the weaknesses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this church people, O Father. My brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, I just pray for this Edinburgh church, O Lord. Lord, let it grow like never before in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak a special anointing upon my people, O Lord, that they will be able to deliver people from bondage. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray that, Lord, that the anointing, they will increase day by day. That like Moses, that he did not stop with the third level. That they will go to the fourth level, in Lord, in convincing people, in helping people, in delivering people. In the name of Jesus, Father, I just pray that their weakness will become strength in your hand, O Lord. I just pray for everyone, every old person, every young person, every person who is not feeling well. Lord, let there be great touch of God right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just pray that as they go back, these words will ring in their mind and it will make them joyful and people with hope. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Amen.